You're listening to The Nancy Skinner Show. The Tom Hartman Show is next on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The Senate has approved now a $350 billion tax cut package that includes President Bush's proposal to eliminate taxes on dividends, but only temporarily. The bill eliminates taxes on dividends in two steps, beginning with a 50% cut this year and then a total cut between 2004 and 2006. Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley says it will also close some loopholes that have led to corporate crimes.
The shareholders and the workers, and many of the workers who also own shares, have been greatly harmed by the actions of corrupt executives, the fast and loose games being played in some corporate suites.
The package also accelerates planned income tax cuts, gives tax breaks to married couples, and increases the child tax credit. Leading Palestinian negotiator Saeb Erekat has reportedly resigned. Officials say he sent his letter of resignation to Yasser Arafat and newly appointed Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas yesterday. That story from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The Prime Minister has reportedly asked Saeb Erekat to give him a week to consider his resignation request. No reason for the negotiator's decision has been given. There is speculation in Palestinian circles that Mr. Erekat was angry about the decision not to include him in the Palestinian delegation that's to meet Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon on Saturday. Mr. Erekat's been a leading Palestinian negotiator with Israel for the last 10 years. His resignation comes amid renewed intense efforts to promote the so-called roadmap for peace in the Middle East. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
Secretary of State Colin Powell's trip to drum up support to lift UN sanctions against Iraq appears to be reaping results. After meeting with German Foreign Minister Joschka Fischer, Powell said the sanctions should be repealed very soon.
And I believe with the cooperation that I have seen expressed here today, as well as the kind of cooperation we're having with other members of the Security Council, it should be possible to come to closure quickly over the next several days or week on a UN resolution that will lift sanctions.
Powell said the goal is to move into the future and help the Iraqi people, quote, achieve their dreams. On his trip to Germany, Powell also met with German Chancellor Gerhard Schrader.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allevert. New Allevert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allevert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allevert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allevert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allevert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
A sharp drop in energy costs pulled down consumer prices in April. The consumer price index was down 0.3% last month, while analysts had been expecting a 0.1% drop. Housing starts, meanwhile, fell an unexpected 6.8% last month, largely due to a drop in groundbreakings on multifamily homes. The Commerce Department says groundbreakings for new homes slipped to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.63 million, their lowest level since April of 2002. Starts of structures with five or more units also plummeted by 22.5%.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
The Senate has now passed legislation authorizing the spending of about $15 billion over the next 5 years to combat HIV and AIDS. The House had already passed a similar bill a few weeks ago, but differences remain and still must be resolved before President Bush can sign it into law. A story from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
On a voice vote, the U.S. Senate overwhelmingly agreed to confront what they're calling the greatest humanitarian crisis of the 21st century. An amendment to require that AIDS drugs be purchased at the lowest possible prices failed, as did one designed to eliminate the requirement requirement from the House bill that one-third of the total money be put towards the promotion of abstinence. However, a new amendment calling for debt relief for African nations was passed by the Senate and is likely to make the final bill. That is, once members from both chambers and both parties meet to iron out differences between the two pieces of legislation and then hold a final vote on the bill. President George Bush is hoping to sign it as soon as possible. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm gonna get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are in the United States or around the world. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. We're calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, where corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what you do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed, where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we didn't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of my program is, are we advancing democracy or something else? It might be corporatism, it might be theocracy, or it might be warlordism, but those are the three eternal opponents of democracy that Thomas Jefferson swore eternal opposition to. And it's worth revisiting, worth remembering. We've got a great show today, a great program, some fascinating stuff. In the second hour, I'm going to be sharing with you how those values that I just defined have been wholeheartedly embraced in a sudden and stunning turnaround by the Bush administration. You're not going to believe this. It's incredible. It's not quite what it sounds, but, well, we're going to start the second hour with that. But in this hour, I got some interesting email here. Let's just start out. Number one, from yesterday's discussion, George, who doesn't say where he's from. He's coming in over a NASA email address, so maybe down in Florida or Texas. Anyhow, he says, Tom, the argument that evolution is a religion is a bogus argument. And he goes on to point out how the argument is organized. This is from our first hour yesterday afternoon. And he said, the suggestion that evolution is not scientific, he says, scientific theories are not proven, nor are they even provable. They merely describe the phenomena that we as humans observe in nature. A theory is modified when new data invalidates previous data. It's not a permanent thing. Gravity's a theory. So is the atomic theory. Do Christian fundamentalists argue that argue about these basic natural phenomena? Of course not. And then he goes on to say that evolution does not explain how life began. It only explains how genetic variations and mutations result in diversity of life forms over time. Well-articulated commentary here, George. Thank you. He also points to a website, www.talkingorigins.org, TalkingOrigins.org. So that's one. We have a friend in Mexico who has sent an email, love your show, and you know some pleasant and favorable comments and suggestions. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Klaus from Eugene, Oregon, on our message board, which is at www.tomhartman.com. There's both a message board, which is kind of a community where you can post messages. I added it up yesterday. I think we've got a little over 12,000 messages now, and Klaus is member number 1,123. And you can just go in there and post messages. There's a section just for the radio program. And Klaus from Eugene, he posted this message. He says, separation of church and state is essential to democracy as well as what I would call spiritually informed governance. No matter one's personal beliefs, all paths to God are equally valid or not. Beliefs are a personal freedom, and no government has any business dictating any one concept of God to all. Politics and religion, strange bedfellows, or predictable partners in power. If one seeks justification for one's means, religion provides the ultimate excuse in the name of... and so on. Yeah, thank you, Klaus. Good observation. And also, in discussion of our, or in reference to our discussion yesterday about how Pat Robertson had put together Operation Blessing International, which then got $500,000 in your and my tax dollars under the new faith-based initiative program that President Bush pushed through, and then took that $500,000 and gave it to the Christian Broadcasting Network, which airs Robertson. OneTermBush.com member, I don't know if that's a real website or not, this is this person's screen name here, member number 1279. He says, I wonder if someone could post the name of the organization that Tom was talking about. And so I went on and I posted it and a URL to an article about it. And he says, thanks, Tom. Interestingly, when you go to look at their IRS Form 990, this is for the Operation Blessing, the thing that was put together with our tax dollars. He says, interestingly, when you go to look at their IRS Form 990 off their website, www.ob.org/about/financial.asp, the link does not bring you to their Form 990. Very interesting. So we also have a chat room, a live messaging area, which I checked during the breaks in the program and during the commercial messages. And if you just go into there, you can just type something up. I won't be able to respond to you in real time because I'm sitting here behind the microphone. But I will read it during the break and talk about what you have to say. Or you can post a message on the forum. And, of course, my email address, tom@tomhartman.com, is on just about every page of the website, pretty easily found. Our telephone number here at the IE America Radio Network is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And our quote for the day from Robert F. Kennedy, few will have the greatness to bend history itself, but each of us can work to change a small portion of events. And in the total of all those acts will be written the history of this generation. Some great stuff here for today. To start out with, I got, being an official talk show host, I got my daily talking points from the Republican National Committee. The RNC, Jack Oliver, deputy chairman, he sent me an email with today's talking points. You will hear these. I want you to be sure to pay attention to the talk shows over the weekend on television, because these are the talking points that all the talk show hosts and all the TV show hosts are supposed to be hewing to. And there are 6 major points here that are supposed to be covered. And I think it's worth, you know, visiting these things. It's interesting. Number one, quote, Democrats and their special interest friends uniting to flood Congress with messages politicizing economic growth and opposing the president's plan to create at least a million jobs. Wow. That's like a you know, the use of language by these so-called conservatives, these con men, is just mind-boggling. Democrats and their special interest friends. Well, MoveOn.org, which is a grassroots citizens organization that has no corporate funding at all, and just, you know, basically exists in email, has been sending around an email to people saying that if they don't like the president's tax plan, they should call their elected representatives. And so you and I, my friends, you and I, according to the Republicans, are the Democratic special interest friends. Amazing. And we are opposing the president's plan to create at least a million jobs for $550 billion. Yes, $550,000 per job. Well, you say, but wait a minute, that's $550,000 or $550 billion over a 10-year period. And the job creation is only over a 2-year period. Okay, fine. That means we're spending $110,000 per job. Why not just give people that money? I mean, I think that people would much rather have $110,000 than a job paying $4 or $5 or $6 an hour flipping burgers. But that's not how it works in the brave new world. Okay, talking point number two of the Republicans. Don't use the word Democratic. Use the word Democrat. Democratic makes them sound, well, Democratic. So here's the buzz phrase for the week from the RNC. As Congress debates the president's plan, Democrat hypocrisy has been exposed. You're going to see this all over the talk shows this weekend, I guarantee it. For example, here are the talking points that they are providing. Democrat Senator Ken Conrad, who opposed the tax cuts, proposed $433 billion in rejected spending this year. Democrat Senator Tom Harkin proposed $24 billion in rejected spending this year. He calls Bush's plan a radical budget, leaves children behind by creating massive deficits on top of an already large debt. Democrat Senator Frank Lautenberg said, the president wants to charge his budget plan on a credit card with interest that our children will have to pay. How dare he say that? He proposed $15.6 billion in rejected spending this year. Democrat Senator Hillary Clinton said, what is it exactly we intend to leave our children besides a more dangerous world and a pile of debt, end quote. Oh, she shouldn't say something like that. She proposed $3.5 billion in rejected spending in 2003. And Democrat Senator Max Baucus said, I fear the president's budget will only lead the country into a spiral of deficit spending. He proposed $311 billion in rejected spending in 2001. Well, that was 2 years ago. I guess they're having to reach to find to find Democratic. Okay. Number two, Democrat, not Democratic. Number three, Kennedy and growth. Invoke the name of President Kennedy. Presidents Kennedy and Reagan both lowered taxes for working families and spurred tremendous growth. You will hear this. You will hear it many times. Well, the reality is every president except Herbert Hoover and George W. Bush in the last two centuries could be said to have spurred growth because the economy has been growing steadily ever since 1776. With the singular exceptions of 3 years before the Civil War, 3 years the first 3 years of the Great Depression, and the last 2 years. So you could say that about any president. Jeff in Dallas calling about our Republican talking points. Jeff, we've got just about a minute here, and then we can pick you up on the other side of the commercials if you'd like. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
You know, we have RadioLeft.com, and
yes.
The other day, We decided we'd like to have somebody from the DNC on to talk about some stuff that was going on. Mm-hmm. After five different phone calls and five messages left for people on deadline on cell phones, we finally got a phone call back while we were already on the air, in which they said, well, gee, this is awfully short notice. We never did get anybody. So just for a good joke, I called the RNC.
Yeah.
I'd like to have somebody on. 15 minutes, they call back. I have Manny Miranda, the general counsel from Senator Bill Frist's office.
Amazing. Jeff, we've got to go. We'll be right back. Stick with me here.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This
is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
And welcome back, my friends, to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're asking the question, is modern conservative political spin designed to divert our attention from the corporate takeover of democracy? Jeff in Dallas. Jeff is the host of a talk show on radioleft.org, right, Jeff?
.com.
.com, thank you. Right. Okay. I'm always radio mixing those things up. Yeah, RadioLeft.com. And you had an interesting experience trying to get a Democrat and a Republican on your show.
It's very interesting because we've had Howard Dean and all kinds of people, so it's never an issue of trying to actually get people.
Right.
But I'd never called the DNC before. Five phone calls to their landlines, five phone calls to their cell phones on deadline. We still haven't gotten anybody from the DNC on, and it's a week and a half later. And it took 30 minutes to get the general counsel, Manny Miranda, from Senator Bill Frist's office to come on. So you know what we did?
What?
We gave the guy 20 minutes. We were completely respectful. We let him spend the 20 minutes giving the Republican spin on why it is that the Democrats are full of crap for opposing the judges.
Uh-huh.
And
good on you.
You know?
Well done.
And the thing about it is, he even gave us a scoop. It was on Thursday, and he told us that the next day there was going to be a Rose Garden ceremony, and that Senator Frist was going to be calling for rule changes on the cloture vote.
Interesting. And he knew you were Radio Left.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the thing. Will Rogers was right. He said, "I'm not a member of an organized political party. I'm a Democrat." And it's true. The Republicans have this very I was going to say maybe the conservatives we should say, but they've essentially taken over the Republican Party now, and so the Republican Party has this very singular focus, which is hand it all over to corporations. Let corporations run the show. Everything that benefits corporations is to the benefit of America. And I think some of them actually believe it. And some of them are just, cynically cashing in hand over fist. And the Democrats, on the other hand, you got a bunch of people who are concerned about various social issues. You've got some people who are really concerned about healthcare issues. Some people are really concerned about education issues. Some people who are very concerned about the future of our cities. People who are concerned. There isn't this monolithic central focus that's driving, the drumbeat of one particular agenda down their throats. And the Republicans, they've got that. Give it all to the corporations will give us power, and they have. And I mean, just look at the media, for example. And it's just, I don't see it happening with the Democrats. Jeff, do you?
No, and it's extremely frustrating because, in my mind, that experience that I had. Is a formula for losing elections. I don't understand how the Democrats can complain about the media being right wing when they're not even willing to support or provide people to go on left wing talk shows.
But here's the problem, Jeff. The Republicans have so much cash from their corporate donors that when Bush gave his speech in front of the Statue of Liberty, they imported floodlights, these huge, the modern version of Klieg lights, I forget what they're called, to beam up and illuminate all 320 feet of the Statue of Liberty. I mean, this is just a huge thing. And it was partly paid for with our tax dollars. It was partly paid for by the RNC. Democrats don't have that kind of cash. They don't have the money to make this happen. I mean, the big corporate donors are just overtly going into the Republican camp, just overtly. And, there used to be a pretense of impartiality in the corporate end. It's not happening anymore.
Well, we figured out that what we need to do is just bypass the RNC and go directly to our contacts in the senator and House
DNC.
Members' offices.
Yeah, you mean the DNC? That's really what. Thank you, Jeff, for calling. I appreciate the call. I think that's one of the issues here that we have is that the Democrats are very much more of a grassroots organization, and that there is a certain healthy purity, I suppose, in that. And they don't get their talking points out every week like the Republicans do. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the rest of today's talking points from the RNC here on the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, what are you doing to get in shape for the summer?
Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donut.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to toyota.com/owners for valuable service special coupons.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Unions representing more than 24,000 employees of General Electric are committed to strike unless they get a new contract with pension protections and affordable health insurance by next month. Negotiations on the contract are slated to begin Monday. One of the union negotiators with the Communications Workers of America predicts there's a 50-50 chance a strike will take place, and if it does, it could be an extended walkout. The last protracted strike of GE workers took place in 1969 and lasted 101 days.
Federal authorities have a suspect in custody after a border crossing gone awry left 18 immigrants dead in South Texas on Wednesday. 41-year-old Tyrone Williams faces charges of conspiracy and the transport and harboring of aliens after the asphyxiated bodies of 18 Central American and Mexican immigrants were found in the abandoned trailer of his 18-wheeler. Maria Jimenez, director of the Immigration Law Enforcement Monitoring Project in Houston, says an increasingly militarized U.S.-Mexico border leads many unlawful immigrants to take dangerous chances while crossing into the country.
Which then creates the conditions for people who want to profit from this to put together businesses to move people clandestinely.
Jimenez, who favors decriminalizing border crossing, sees a double standard in U.S. immigration policy.
If you're an investor, U.S. law permits you to enter as a temporary resident legally and safely and invest for 2 years, and if you meet the requirements, you get your green card. That is not a right afforded to a farm worker or a restaurant worker or a factory worker.
Border crossers pay smugglers as much as $2,000 for passage into the U.S.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff.
How's that for sage advice?
Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it?
Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution.
It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time. That's Eastern Time. Weekdays for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. If you want to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. This is the program where democracy is still alive and well. at least in this little corner of radio space. And in cyberspace on TomHartmann.com and IEAmericaRadio.com, we're quickly going over the Republican talking points for this week. Here's another. This is another fascinating one. This is some 92 million Americans will win. See, here's the key. You're supposed to make people think of this as a lottery. You, too, can get the winning ticket. 92 million Americans in all will win under the president's economic plan. Now, here are the details. Low-income Americans. In fact, 3 million Americans would immediately see their tax burden eliminated. So 3 million of our poorest people will not pay taxes. And that's true. They're actually suggesting that they raise the minimum tax, or the minimum tax bracket, rather, from the current $6,000 to $7,000 until 2005. Then they'll drop it back down to $6,000, and all those people will have to start paying tax again. But for 3 years, if you only earn between $6,000 and $7,000 a year, and you're unfortunate enough to have to pay taxes as it is, income taxes. Now, they're a little disingenuous because they say, in fact, 3 million Americans would immediately see their tax burden eliminated. Not true. Those people are still going to have to pay FICA taxes. Those people are still going to have to pay sales taxes. If they own their own home, they're still going to have to pay property taxes. But right out of their paychecks, they're going to have to pay payroll taxes, your FICA, Social Security taxes. Okay, working families. This is the one I love. This is so cool. I should qualify this. I am not here to represent the Democratic Party. I am not a member of the Democratic Party. I'm not here to be a proponent of the Democratic Party. I have in my life, well, we don't need to go into all of that, but in any case. But nonetheless, this just boggles my mind. If I saw this kind of hypocrisy coming out of the Democratic Party, I'd be pointing it out too. I've been looking for it. But this is incredible. Working families. A married couple with two kids earning $40,000. You will hear this on the talk shows this weekend. I guarantee you. These are the talking points for radio talk show hosts and the Democrat or the Republican National Committee and for everybody else. A married couple with two kids earning $40,000 will see their 2003 tax burden. Notice they're framing this. We'll see their 2003 tax burden reduced from $1,178 to $45, a 96% tax cut. Well, that sounds really great. You say, wow, if I'm making $40,000 and I've got two kids, my taxes are going to go from $1,178 to $45, 96% tax cut? Well, unfortunately, there's a couple of gotchas. I don't want to call them lies. You can decide. The first is that it's not a 96% tax cut because those people are getting no cut at all in their payroll taxes. And if you're making $40,000 a year, you're probably paying more in payroll taxes than you are in income tax. Income tax really starts kicking in, you know, when people start making over $80,000 a year. And if you make over $81,000 a year, then you're no longer paying payroll tax. You're only paying income tax. So cutting the income tax is something that the very wealthy are very concerned about because it's the only tax they're paying. And this is this incredible disingenuous argument. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, on his website, he's got this thing about the income tax. Well, and he does the same disingenuous little trick of saying, your taxes, the tax. No, it's not. It's the income tax, which is different from the payroll tax, and both are taken out of people's paychecks. So, anyhow, it's also not including the alternate minimum tax. This is the huge trick. They're changing the alternative minimum tax is a tax that was originally set up so that wealthy people would have to pay some taxes. And back when it was set up, wealthy people were $40,000 or more. And so what happens right now is if you make more than $35,750 a year, you have a certain number of deductions, you may have to pay this alternate minimum tax. Well, they're going to raise that threshold to $43,250, which means that this particular little slice, this little window of a married couple with two kids earning $40,000 will no longer be paying the alternative minimum tax. But everybody else will. it's like, so there's just this little tiny shift in the tax bracket, and they picked out that one little window right in there to make it look like a great big thing. It's not. Mark in Dallas, you wanted to talk about our talking points here. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Mark.
How you doing today, Tom?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Well, I'm not doing great, and I probably won't get better, but that's beside the point.
Oh, come on, Mark.
Well,
what's up? What's on your mind?
Well, the comedy is, why does it take Tom Hartman to mount a rebuttal to the Republican talking points?
Yeah, I'm wondering that myself.
and the thought is, why don't we have somebody from the Democratic Party put out a weekly set of talking points? Because I maintain that until or unless progressives, Democrats are willing to fight as hard on a weekly, day-in, day-out basis as Republicans, it's not going to change. And sorry for being pessimistic. It's just my view from the trenches.
Well, here's the problem. If the Democrats, and the Democrats, actually, Terry McAuliffe sent out an email today, which I received, which was not a list of talking points like the Republicans. It was instead a quote from Jimmy Carter saying that he felt that this tax cut that was being proposed would harm future generations. And it was a very nice quote. In fact, I thought about reading it on the air, and then I thought, well, you know, it's preaching to the converted. But the problem is, I think, and maybe I'm wrong. Give me a reality check on this, Mark. Mm-hmm. The problem, I think, is that if the DNC was to put out a set of talking points that said we should only use this particular type of language because this reframes things. I mean, like the Republicans, they talk about tax relief and tax benefit and tax burdens rather than taxes. They're using what in the advertising business we used to call weasel words. It's called framing, actually, in NLP, in the classic sense. You redefine the meaning of the argument by taking control of the language. And I'm certain that if the Republicans were to, or if the Democrats were to put out news releases every week and have weasel words in them that defined things in ways that weren't so, their own members, their own people, I mean, this is an unruly bunch, would be calling them on it. You'd see all these battles erupting within the Democratic Party, and it's already going on. I mean, you know, look at the Democratic candidates for president who are poking each other with sticks and things.
But don't you just make my point for me, though? The point is that the Republicans are focused. I'll just throw something out. I read an article here about 3 months ago from an odd website, a history website, and it talked about how in the early 70s that movers and shakers in the Republican Party, behind the scenes, the money people, Adolph Kors being one of them, sat down and said, look, we don't like what happened in the 60s, and we consider that if what happened in the 60s continues, what we believe to be America, i.e. the Republicans, country club Republicans and rich Republicans, this country will change.
Sure.
And they set down a process and a set of ideas to, quote-unquote, take the country back from their perspective.
Right, Coors funded the Heritage Foundation with his Castle Rock Foundation, and on. I've written several pieces about this that are on CommonDreams.org. By the way.
Now I've also read that just in the decade of the '90s, just the '90s, the Republicans, this group of Republicans, spent $1 billion to fund think tanks, study groups, message delivery systems, and on and on and on and on.
Yes, that's true.
So my point
is, as far as I know,
So my point is this: until the Democrats are willing to get serious to take back the media, how can we ever expect to be able to counter this? Because I don't think it's your responsibility to have to be the counterpunch to the Republican talking points.
Yeah, well, here's the flip side of this, Mark, Mark has called the Tom Hartman program here on the IE America Radio Network at 1-800-TALK. Yes, you can too. The question, Mark, is, in fact, the question for this hour is: modern conservative political spin designed to divert our attention from the corporate takeover of democracy? Now, if the Democratic Party, or any of the other parties, maybe we shouldn't just limit this to the Democrats. You know, there's the Progressives and the Greens and the Independents and the Libertarians and all these other guys. If any other party, but let's say to the Democrats, because really we live in a two-party system until we have instant runoff voting in the United States. We are stuck with two parties. If the Democrats were to get as focused as you're suggesting, and have this laser-like concentration with $1 billion worth of funding from a small group of very wealthy individuals. And let's also acknowledge that a lot of that $1 billion came from Falwell and his $10 donations from over 1 million people. I mean, a lot of it was grassroots money, too.
Right.
If the Democrats were to pull together this enormous amount of money with one particular focus, would that serve democracy?
I would argue yes, because there's probably five to six issues that you could focus on, and those issues have been so perverted by the right wing that just moving them back to the center would benefit everybody.
Right, but those are issues that don't generate, if we're talking about the same issues, and I'm assuming that we are, they're issues that don't generate profit for people. For example, let's just take education. One of the reasons, I live in Vermont, one of the reasons why Jim Jeffords left the Republican Party was this issue. Bush, you know, there are several corporations in America that sell educational tests. There's one very large one, $400 million corporation 3 years ago, and they're very politically active. They make political contributions. The Bush presidency or the Bush administration was engaging in political payback. You know, okay, let's turn this $400 million corporation into an $800 million corporation. And so the Leave No Child Behind, the No Child Left Behind Act, basically requires school districts to buy more tests from corporations like this one.
Sure.
And you can't generate your own tests in a school district. You have to buy them from these corporations. And according to some research that the Senate had come up with, the Jeffords' office shared with me, in the first year of the No Child Left Behind bill, the revenues to this corporation would go from $400 million a year to $800 million a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just naked political payback. It didn't serve democracy. It didn't serve children. It didn't serve education. It made a small group of white men rich. Now,
so why can't that be a progressive slash democratic issue?
Well, because this happened as the result of a lot of cash.
Right.
I mean, a whole bunch of lobbyists wearing $2,000 Armani suits descended on Washington, D.C. and started passing out envelopes to senators and congresspeople with thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars in them and got this vote through.
The issue to voters in my mind is, do you want to make a bunch of old white guys rich on the backs of your kids? And if you put it to the voters in that context, they're going to say, hell no.
Yeah, I think that there's a larger issue here, Mark, and that is that our system is broken.
And, I agree.
And that as long as corporate money is allowed to contaminate and pollute and poison the political discourse in this country, we're going to continue to see these kinds of things where you know, I'd say the current Bush administration is absolutely the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States. But the Clinton administration wasn't that far behind them.
Sure.
And the Bush 1 administration wasn't that far behind Clinton. I mean, it's just ever since Boston versus Pilate in 1978, when the Supreme Court legalized this kind of stuff, it's just been getting worse and worse and worse. And now these guys are going to put the next people on the court, and they're trying to change the rules in the Senate for judicial nominations to nail this down.
So here's my positive suggestion, Tom. And this is at a super meta level.
Yep.
The positive suggestion is this. We need to find that small group of philanthropists that believes in the greater good theory,
mm-hmm.
and say we're going to mount an extra party, greater good theory campaign to take back these issues. And the Democratic mm-hmm. Party or the Greens or progressives or whoever on the left doesn't like it. They're just going to have to countdown and get in line.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the strategy of the Greens, that they're going to be the pressure group that's going to cause the Democrats to change, and the result has not been that. The result has been disastrous for the Democrats in many cases. I mean, we have to keep in mind that as disorganized as the Democrats are, that in the last election, Al Gore won 500,000 more votes than George Bush did. I mean, people even
Which
in the
tells
face
you
of,
that if you got organized, it wouldn't be that difficult to do.
Yeah. I don't disagree. Okay.
Mark,
thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Thanks. We're doing our talking points here from the radical middle on the Tom Hartman program, trying to get a view of the whole thing. So this alternative minimum tax, just so you know, if you make more than $35,750, you may have to pay the alternative minimum tax. And there are things that can kick it in. for example, having deductions. If you take standard exemptions, if you've got two children, for example, if you take the standard deduction, if you pay state and local taxes, if you have a second mortgage. And so if you pay the alternative minimum tax because you're making more than $35,750 a year, under the Bush tax proposal, as long as you're making less than $43,250 a year, you'll no longer have to pay the AMT. And that will cause, as the Republican talking points today say, a married couple with two kids earning $40,000 will see their... You will hear this repeated verbatim, I guarantee, this weekend. A married couple with two kids earning $40,000 will see their 2003 tax burden reduced from $1,178 to $45, a 96% tax cut. Of course, we're not including the payroll tax, and it's just a trick with the alternative minimum tax. And it gets repealed in 2005. So those people are going to be paying that tax all over again in two more years. Incredible. Oh, the talking points. Oh, the talking points. And then the dividends. They don't mention that much. But here's the major talking point for the week from the Republican National Committee. Help expose the Democrat hypocrisy and contact your members of Congress today. Democrats and their special interest friends have been uniting to flood Congress with messages politicizing economic growth and opposing the president's plan to create at least a million jobs at the cost of $500,000 per job. We can't allow that to happen, eh? This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Right turn, right turn, right turn, right turn, back to the dealership. That's a typical test drive. Now, GM introduces the 24-hour test drive. Bring home a GM car or truck. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
Well, let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
Philip.
Constance.
Oh, Philip, I can't take this anymore. I want to be free.
You mean you want to be free of me, the kids, and the dirty laundry?
No.
Oh.
I want to be free of overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
Darling, that means Freelax.
What's so different about Freelax?
It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
If I take Freelax tonight, I'll get relief before the kids start fighting over breakfast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives, laxative. Use only as directed.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
Don't step
sounds good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Seeing your eyes, and I can see that this guy is hanging on me.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Is modern conservative political spin designed to divert our attention from the corporate takeover of American democracy? Just wrapping up our talking points from the Republican National Committee that I received an email today that will be available on every talk show in America this weekend. We've covered the major ones. We've got a couple of smaller ones here. Oh, my. Partisan Democrats. You can't just be a Democrat. You got to be a partisan Democrat, right? I guess Republicans are not partisan. Partisan Democrats have claimed concern for increasing the deficit. Well, they're saying that, yeah, but they must be lying, right? They've claimed concern for increasing the deficit when their real interest is partisan obstruction of President Bush's agenda. Well, wait a minute. If his agenda is to raise the deficit, then partisan Democrats have claimed concern for increasing the deficit, but their real interest is partisan obstruction. Another wonderful example of Orwellian newspeak, or at least Orwellian doublespeak. Eddie in Alabama, what's wrong with the 10% flat tax rate? We've got a minute or so here left, Eddie. Your comments?
I was just wondering what your views were on a flat rate for everyone, and anything above that flat rate, perhaps you might want to earmark for military education, or if you just wanted to contribute to your country. But what's wrong with that, Tom? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thanks, Eddie. But what's wrong with it is that it's not flat. That if I'm earning say $20,000 a year, and I'm spending three quarters of my income for food and housing and the necessities of life, gasoline and transportation, I'm paying taxes on all those things. I'm paying sales tax. Plus, I'm paying a payroll tax. Plus, I'm paying income tax. Now, so if say you're paying, you know, $2,500 a year in payroll tax and $2,500 a year in income tax, the income tax goes to a flat rate. You're going to see your taxes for people making under $40,000, $50,000, their taxes are going to go up substantially with a flat rate tax. Plus, they're still paying the payroll tax. Plus, they're still paying the sales tax on everything. If you're making $1 million a year, you're not buying at retail that much stuff that you're having to pay sales tax on. So you're paying a much lower percentage of taxes in sales tax.
You're paying a much lower percentage of property tax because your property, you know, your contribution to your local community to support police services and fire and education and things, you know, it's not that large a portion of your income. And you're not paying as much payroll taxes. You only pay payroll tax in the first $80,000.
IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The Senate has approved now a $350 billion tax cut plan that includes President Bush's proposal to eliminate the taxes on dividends, but it's only temporary. That bill eliminates taxes on all dividends in two steps, beginning with a 50% cut this year and then a total cut from 2004 through 2006. And even with that passage, some senators are still speaking out against the tax cuts. Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin said it's not a good idea to make the cuts right now, considering the fast-rising record federal deficit. He chided Republicans for dismissing the importance of those numbers.
Fiscally conservative Republicans come to this floor and say, for goodness sakes, don't mention the D word. Don't mention deficits. Deficits aren't important. Why are you Democrats tied in knots over deficits? Well, the reason they don't want to talk about it is because the record is so miserable.
The bill passed last night accelerates planned income tax cuts, gives tax breaks to married couples, and increases the child tax credit. Secretary of State Colin Powell is in Germany now for talks aimed at healing the international rift over Iraq, as well as gaining support to lift U.N. economic sanctions against the country. He's meeting with German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder following similar discussions earlier in Moscow. A story from correspondent Suzanne Chisler.
Germany was among leading nations to speak out against military action in Iraq, calling instead for U.N. weapons inspectors to be given more time. Secretary Powell is hopeful that rift in policy can be healed, as he's also trying to secure support for a new UN resolution. The US is calling for the lifting of sanctions and mapping the political and economic reconstruction of Iraq. Analysts say it goes some way to addressing the concerns of countries such as Russia, which are owed billions of dollars by the former Iraqi regime. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And the State Department is warning of another possible terrorist attack in Saudi Arabia. Officials say intelligence indicates residential compounds in the port city of Jeddah could be next. Meanwhile, about 60 agents from both the FBI and the CIA have arrived in Saudi Arabia to help in the hunt for whoever was responsible for the attacks earlier this week that killed 34 people, including 8 Americans.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
After holding up at an Oklahoma Holiday Inn for the past few days, 51 Texas Democratic state lawmakers are headed back to Austin in time for today's legislative session. The Democrats walked out to protest a Republican congressional redistricting plan. They had to leave the state or they could have been rounded up by state police and forcibly taken back to the Capitol. Fears over SARS have prompted Chinese officials to suspend international adoptions. Officials at the Center of Adoption in Beijing say they're concerned prospective parents may spread the virus after visiting China. Taiwan's health minister...
How is the GM 24-hour test drive different from the average test drive? It's about, 23 hours and 45 minutes longer. Long enough to take a GM car or truck to work, to keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
I'm asleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
Kenya's airport remains on heightened security alert today because of more possible terrorist threats. The commander of Kenya's airport police, Thomas Chigami, says they have beefed up security.
The security within the airport, it is quite beefed. That is, we have got officers on the ground, so there is no cause of alarm.
Britain banned flights to and from Kenya yesterday after officials announced one of the FBI's most wanted al-Qaeda suspects, Fazul Abdullah Mohammed, may have been spotted in East Africa. Mohammed is believed to have been behind the 1998 bombing of the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi, as well as a suicide bombing at a hotel in the Kenyan resort town of Mombasa. And the autopsies of Lacey Peterson and her unborn son are now complete, but the results from the Contra Costa County coroner in California won't be made public yet. The prosecution and the defense in the trial of Lacey's husband, Scott Peterson, were in court yesterday asking the report remains sealed until at least May 27th, the date of the next hearing in the case. The judge agreed allowing the media access to the documents would compromise Peterson's chance at a fair trial. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words, so picture this, a toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from the west to the east in the United States, from the north to the south, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, SIRIUS. That's the new satellite receivers that are standard equipment. Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, and Jaguar automobiles. And streaming live on the web from IEAmericaRadio.com and rebroadcast from 5 to 7 p.m. on RadioPower.org. Welcome and thank you for joining us for this second hour of the program. As promised last hour, I'm going to share with you how George Bush and his administration have suggested that they agree about returning to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, things like good schools, health care for all, education for all, the natural resources of a nation being owned by its people rather than private corporate interests. Can you imagine if all the oil in America was for the American people and the money didn't go to ExxonMobil or Texaco or Shell or Halliburton or Harkin, but instead the money went to the taxpayers, went to the governments? They pump the stuff up out of the ground for a buck or two a barrel. They can sell it on the open market for $25.60, I think, was today's spot price for crude. And then, of course, they're buying it for that, so they can make money buying it at that price and converting it into gasoline. What if it was actually the property of we the people? Well, the Bush administration has taken the position that natural resources are the property of the people of the nation, that there should be free health care for all, quality schools, and an aggressive construction program should be undertaken immediately to build these schools, build hospitals, and provide for free speech even. Democracy. And this free speech is a particular problem here in the United States. The freedom of assembly, we'll get to that in just a minute. But here's the kicker. They're suggesting all this should be for Iraq, not for the United States. Colin Powell recently declared, Iraq's oil belongs to the Iraqi people. It's an asset of those people in that nation, right? They own it. Well, who owns America's oil? Not you and me. No, our oil has been privatized. But Iraq, apparently their oil belongs to their people. That'll be interesting to see if it happens. Now, in fact, the conservative press I have a great article here. This is on Alternet today by Barbara Ehrenreich. And Barbara Ehrenreich wrote a brilliant book. As the author of a bunch of books myself, I every now and then you read a book that just really is, wow. And where you get it that not only is the person brilliant and did their work, but they're also gifted communicators. Barbara Ehrenreich wrote a book called Nickel and Dimed on Not Getting By in America. Recommend it really highly. And she wrote this article that was originally in the Los Angeles Times, pointing these things out. It's called Socialism Lives. The conservative press is filled with ideas for how to distribute the wealth to the people and keep it out of the hands of Iraqi elites, quote unquote. Remarkable. Schools will be repaired, damaged infrastructure rebuilt, education made available even to the poorest, and quality health care for all. Iraqis are even free to demonstrate by the thousands. Now, what about here in the United States? Well, here in the United States, we have the good citizens of, I believe it was Eugene, Oregon, one of the communities in Oregon, lining up in the streets to give blood at a for-profit blood bank. They were paid for their blood so that the money from giving blood could be used to pay the salary of a teacher in their school who was going to be laid off because of the budget cuts mandated by the tax cuts of 2001. What about free speech in the United States? Regis Sable, S-A-B-O-L, wrote an interesting article, Free Speech, Free Assembly, What Are They Under Bush? He tells a story. He says, I got a first-hand lesson on Labor Day on what the right to freedom of speech and freedom of assembly mean under the regime of George W. Bush. Americans who support Bush and his policies can raise signs in his praise and line the streets when his limousine passes by. Americans who do not support Bush and his policies must stay far away from the president by judicial decree or risk arrest. He talks about going to a meeting. This is a picnic at the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners in on Neville Island, Pennsylvania. This is the Carpenter and Teamsters Union are the only labor organization to support Bush. And so he went to this thing, and police ordered anybody who had a protest sign, which was 60 or 70 out of the 200 to 300 people who showed up, to stay four blocks away inside a sun-baked, chain-link fence-surrounded park, which they called a free speech zone. He says anyone with a protest sign who stood 1 foot outside that fence would be arrested. A 65-year-old man who did stand just outside that fence with a sign, this is four blocks away from where the event was in fact arrested, along with his sister who came to his assistance when Allegheny County police put handcuffs on him. And two police led this man, his name was Bill Neal, and his sister Joyce, to a local fire department where they were charged with disorderly conduct. The police confiscated his protest sign, and all of this was 2 hours before Bush even arrived. He dared take one step, 1 foot, outside the, quote, free speech zone, end quote. At the same time, the street was lined with pro-Bush protesters holding pro-Bush signs all the way up to the Union Hall. So he says when he first arrived, he says, two state policemen directed us to the free speech zone four blocks away. And now he wasn't carrying a protest sign. This guy's a reporter, and he was carrying a camera. Now, that wasn't allowed either. As we walked down the street, we saw a number of people with signs supporting Bush. When we got to the free speech zone, one of about a dozen state, county, and township police officers directed us to the entrance and told us we had to stay behind the fence. When I asked the officer why we were not allowed on the sidewalk, like the people walking to the picnic and residents holding pro-Bush signs, he simply said, orders. He goes on to say that the security around the free speech zone was tight would be an understatement. After interviewing a number of protesters, I walked outside the gate at the far end of the park into the adjacent parking lot. I wanted to get a few shots from photographs from the opposite side of the fence of the protesters with their signs. As I began shooting pictures, a state policeman walked directly toward me from the fence. He asked me what I was doing outside the fence. When I told him I was a journalist covering the protest, the officer politely but firmly told me I had to return to the free speech zone. He escorted me back to the entrance. Now, all this is before Bush has even shown up. Now, about 15 minutes before the Bush motorcade was scheduled to arrive, two county policemen entered the free speech zone and approached the protesters. One of the officers donned black leather gloves in the nearly 90-degree heat. I don't know why he thought he needed to wear gloves. Perhaps he thought the 72-year-old woman might attack him with her sign, or that the two girl rappers might unleash a barrage of anti-Bush hip-hop into each ear. What did they expect would happen? So anyhow, he talks about the motorcade went zooming by. Bush couldn't even see the free speech zone from his limousine. Although as they approached the area where all the pro-Bush protesters were holding their signs along the motorway, his car slowed down enough that the TV cameras could get a good shot of him and his car and all of the signs and the pro-Bush people. And then Michael Reichenwald, founder and chair of Citizens for Elected Government, which is not an anti-Bush group. It's just this is an old, you know, clean-up government, clean-up city hall kind of group. He showed up, and the police had to deal with him. The police, you know where the protest area is, a police officer told Reichenwald. You know where you're supposed to be. When Reichenwald quietly said he was merely exercising his First Amendment rights, the Secret Service agent replied, now you are really pushing it. The agent warned Reichenwald in no uncertain terms that unless he left the area, he was this close to being arrested for violating a federal protection order, a felony offense, for which you go to prison. The agent then told Reichenwald that two state troopers would escort him back to, quote, the pen, end quote, and that if he said a single word, he would be arrested on a felony charge. Reichenwald asked, if I say so much as a thing, these guys will arrest me? Yes, declared the agent with serious conviction. So Reichenwald wisely left the area. And then the author says, throughout this entire confrontation, we could hear Bush's audience cheer and applaud as he used the all-too-familiar phrases, Homeland Security and our enemies wish to take away our freedoms. He says, I wondered who had just taken away Michael Reichenwald's freedom of speech. This is happening at every event where George Bush shows up. The last time in a modern, what you would call Western democracy or modern civilization, that the last time this happened with the leader of a major world power was in 1934, and the leader was Adolf Hitler. And you say, wait a minute, that's over the top. How can you say? Well, I'm sorry, it's the truth. Our presidents, with the exception of George Bush, have never herded protesters into cages and threatened them with years in prison if they dare step one foot outside. Is modern conservative political spin designed to divert our attention from the corporate takeover of democracy? I think so. And is it possible in America that we might be able to actually have the kind of liberal democracy that the Bush administration says Iraq should have? That the assets of we the people could actually go to help we the people? That free speech would be available for all? Well, there are those a few people who got shot protesting in Iraq recently, but a small aberration. That we could have free health care, free education, like they're going to put in place in Iraq? Time will tell. Let's hope that such a vision could come to pass here in the United States. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Max, I can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No. I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, that's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Use as directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Have you been to a pharmacy lately? If so, you've probably been handed a brochure with a form for you to sign, indicating that you have received notice of how the pharmacy deals with your private medical information. At the top, these notices are reassuring, proclaiming something like, "We'll guard your privacy like a screeching mama eagle protecting her baby eaglets." But alas, these privacy policies don't stop there, going on for several pages filled with small, dense type, as though they really don't want you reading it, much less understanding it. The only reason pharmacies are suddenly expressing concern about our privacy is that a new law requires them to give written notice of their policies. I recently got one issued by the national drug chain Walgreens, whose official corporate slogan is, "The Pharmacy America Trusts." If they have to tell us they're trustworthy, are they? At the top of their 8-page notice of privacy practices, Walgreens flatly declares, "We will not use or disclose your personal health information without your written authorization." But then comes this kicker: "Except as described or otherwise permitted by this notice." Uh-oh, here we go. The brochure then lists 22 ways in which they can peddle our medical privacy. It turns out that Walgreens will turn loose your and my records anytime requested to do so by workers' comp authorities, local police, an opposing lawyer in a court case, the Secret Service, the Pentagon, the FBI, the CIA, and other federal intelligence agents, the Homeland Security Czar, and a category called Other. Also, they can use our medical records as, quote, part of a fundraising effort. But, says Walgreens, we customers do have the right to request restrictions on how they use our information. But it's only a request. Quote, we are not required to agree to those restrictions. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is not protection. It's legalized invasion of our privacy rights.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Also on Sirius Satellite Channel 145 on radio stations across the United States, streaming live from the web at radiopower.org and www.ieamericaradio.com. Greg in New Mexico has some commercial ideas. Greg, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom. Love the show. First, I'd like to point out that the Bush tax plan can't be. That guy can't come up with a plan to save his life. But secondly, the Democrats ought to start adopting some of the Republican tactics. I mean, if Bush is going to stage all these things, maybe the Democrats ought to try the same thing. I mean, seeing as how Hollywood is filled with liberals and unions are supposed to be on the Democrat side, maybe they can get some Hollywood people to put together some quick one-minute campaign spots. Thinking about what you said about the protest in Eugene, Oregon, boy, they could make a nice film noir behind the Iron Curtain or Nazi Germany type of depiction of the Bush regime.
Yeah, well, Greg, the 2 points that you raised that I think are good ones. The first is the issue of making commercials, and actually there is a commercial out right now. That I'm looking for it right here. I've got it. I know I've got it here on this. The Move On ad. And let me just play this for you for just a second. This is actually a commercial that the Cox Broadcasting Company, one of the giant media combines that is salivating at the idea of Michael Powell dropping the restrictions on media ownership, refused to run in the Phoenix, Arizona market. But this is an ad from MoveOn.org. Hang on just a second here. Let me push a button. And it should be coming out.
You can always count on Americans in a crisis. So these people gave blood. Not for our troops in Iraq. No. George Bush's tax cuts for the rich have meant less money for education. So they had to sell their blood to raise money for their children's school. Now Bush wants to cut $9 billion from education to pay for more tax cuts for the rich. Is this the America we want to live in? George Bush putting rich people first.
So there actually is an ad there, Greg, that was paid for. Interestingly, MoveOn.org raised $108,000 to run this ad on cable networks all across the United States, and they raised all of it from donations by individuals over the internet. Most of them $20, $50, $100 donations. But it's so that's happened. But then the other thing is the staging of Bush that you were talking about. The New York Times has a great article about this on the front page today, and they suggest that Bush saw Clinton doing it and just decided to do it a heck of a lot better. So
yeah, that's why I was thinking, might as well enlist Hollywood and do a first-rate job of it. I mean, they could come up with a lot of either, take a Democratic candidate and make him a war hero saving somebody in this, if it's all based on falsehoods, might as well along and
Yeah, don't you think there's a danger in that, though, Greg?
There is, but someone's got to wrestle power away from this guy, or we're going to all end up going down real fast.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree more with Mahatma Gandhi that you can't fight fire with fire, that you have to fight evil with truth, that you have to fight lies with truth. And,
but when they control all the media outlets, it's hard to get the truth out.
But the truth is getting out. I mean, look at MoveOn.org was able to raise this money just by people forwarding emails to other people. I mean, it was just that simple. They nothing else to it. There are people out there who are awakening. Greg, thank you very much for your call. We've got to go here. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stick with us, and we'll be right back.
For Twix, baby. Here's the mix. And I'm gonna tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix. You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Love is Dr. Drake style. Rolling through the streets, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I wanna stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all. Rolling through the Twix.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
People are trying to stop the spread of insects and disease without stopping international trade. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Wooden pallets are used in shipping to move freight around the world. These wooden platforms are important for trade, but they often carry more than their intended cargo. Beetles, worms, fungus, and bacteria are just some of the organisms that ride around on pallets. In one case, researchers examined a single pallet and discovered nearly 30 different kinds of insects. Carrie Britton is a forest pathologist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. She says the wood that's used for pallets often comes from trees that already had been weakened by insects or disease.
There's probably billions of pallets that move around each year with very inferior wood. And sometimes the reason those trees died too young to become anything but a pallet is because they had insects or diseases.
Imported diseases and pests have caused serious economic and environmental damage around the world. Britton says people are looking for ways to fight this problem.
The regulatory community all over the world realize that this is a major problem, and they're working on trying to develop regulations and ways of requiring that the wood be treated either with heat or fumigants like methylbromide.
Britton says modern transportation helps foreign organisms survive the trip between continents.
They can travel across the ocean. We have such rapid transit now that they arrive still alive, and they just crawl out and look for a new home.
Pallets are not the only problem. Invasive species sometimes travel in wood chips and other wood that's used for packing material. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Is modern conservative political spin designed to divert our attention from the corporate takeover of American democracy? And might it be in the process of eating itself? Do we have a situation here where the United States is in potentially serious trouble? Today's Wall Street Journal, an excellent article about stocks, and stocks do best near zero inflation, it suggests. Wall Street engages in deflation debate. Fed makes a promise. What everybody, and USA Today, another one, deflation fears may rise as economy fights for traction. Everybody, it seems, just in the last few weeks, at least in the mainstream press, in the kind of background press on the internet and whatnot, it's been about a year and a half now, that people have been talking about the risk of deflation. And, in fact, there's a couple of best-selling books out about this, you know, how to survive an economic crash and all that kind of thing. Well, full-blown, flat-out, full-bore, over-the-top, down-the-edge, burning-in-flames deflation is what, the last time it happened, we called the Great Depression. And what happened, deflation, is when prices go down. And people say, well, price is going down. That sounds like a pretty good idea to me. Yeah, unless you're selling things. And if the prices are going down and you have to sell them for less than you paid for them, or if you have to sell them at a lower profit margin, and then unless you're manufacturing things and you can't get the money from making them because people aren't paying as much money, and it has a very deflation has a very corrosive effect on business. It's also a real problem for average people, for citizens, if they have any debt. Because if we go into a deflationary spiral, and so in deflation what's actually happening is that the currency is becoming worth more. And therefore prices drop. It takes fewer dollars to buy the same thing. So the dollars have essentially more value. Now, at least on a domestic basis. And when you have a combination of that happening within the United States or within a nation, and then externally the value of its currency is crashing, then you've got a very deadly combination. Now, in the Great Depression between 1930 and 1932, the prices of things dropped a total of 24%. That's a major deflation. But in the month of April, just last month, 2003, there was a 1.9% drop in the producer price index. This is wholesale inflation. And so that's a 1.9% deflation, which is why you're seeing all this stuff about deflation all over in the press. Let's take a break from this for just a second and get back to our last topic. Linda from San Jose, California is on the line. She wants to talk about the 2004 campaign. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Linda. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. It's such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Read your book about corporate personhood, and it is one of the most fascinating books I've ever read in my life.
Thank you. That's unequal protection.
Yes, indeed.
If you don't mind my plugging it.
Please do. I've been trying to get other radio talk show hosts to get you on their show and interview you about that fabulous book.
Well, thank you.
What I also, you were just talking to someone about the 2004 campaign and whether Democrats can employ entertainers to broadcast it and publicize it, and I see nothing wrong with that at all.
Neither do I.
I really feel that a good campaign song that we could have gotten from a top singer before election 2000 might have tipped it over for Gore. You know, I think that we need to start using entertainment to get political messages out. It's an old and revered tradition in America, where they've used jingles and campaign or songs and all kinds of entertainment type of vehicles to get political messages out to the voters.
Yeah, I agree with you, Linda. In fact, Bill Clinton made very good use of the Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow song in his campaign and even had, Buffalo Springfield who did that or whatever the group was?
Fleetwood Mac, that's right.
He had Fleetwood Mac at his inaugural ball, did he not?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, that's my recollection.
But we need campaign songs. And I've just been reading U.S. history, and they had some fabulous campaign jingles in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's time for them to recur. I think that Americans don't read or watch news anymore, or if they do, it goes in and comes right out of their head. But a jingle, a campaign song, something like that will take root. And I'm hoping that Hollywood can come through for the Democrats. I think they owe it to their country. This is a way that they can demonstrate their civil rights, their free speech rights, and I hope that they do it. And I'm also urging all Democrats, registered Democrats in your hearing audience, to contact their local Democratic committees in their own counties, like I did, and push them to start strategizing for the 2004 campaign at the grassroots level.
Yes.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I've done it, and I'm pushing them as hard as I can to admit to their mistakes and to change the way their strategy is going to unfold for 2004. And if we all did that, they would hear an outcry from the voter base that would knock their socks off.
Yeah, I agree, Linda. I absolutely agree. And Democrats out there, if you're listening, take Linda's words to heart. I wrote an article for CommonDreams.org about, I don't know, a month or two ago, called How to Take Back America.
Yes,
about this topic. If you go to CommonDreams.org's main page and then
I loved it.
Scroll down and thank you. You scroll down and click on Tom Hartman, it'll get you to all the columns that I've written for them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow,
we've got the ideas. I just think they need to start listening to us.
I'm right there with you, Linda. Thank you very much for calling. I really appreciate it. Very nice to hear from you in San Jose, California. Phil in Florida has a comment about Linda's song idea. Welcome,
yeah,
Phil.
The woman who just talked about a song.
Yeah,
there
Linda
is a song
in San Jose.
Already.
Uh-huh.
I think this was written some years ago by a group called Musique.
Uh-huh.
And if give me about 20 seconds, I'm going to let you listen to it.
Okay. I'm sorry, I missed your last sentence. Say that again.
Just a second. By iMac, are you there?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah. Oh, you've got the song for us?
Hold on. Just 1 second. This iMac isn't screwing up here.
Okay. Uh-oh. You get the old bomb on the screen? There we go.
Did you hear it?
That's great, Phil.
It's called Musique, and you can download it on LimeWire, at least if you have a Macintosh. But it was called Push, Push in the Bush by a disco group called Musique.
Yeah.
Musique. And I think if someone was smart, they would use that at least for the primaries.
Yeah, but Phil, don't you think, I mean, let's just seriously about this for a moment. Don't you think that the Democrats and frankly any other party on either side would do better with a positive, proactive message rather than a bash the other guy's message?
Well, I don't know. Based on results, I don't think so. You saw the attack, the 8 years of attack they used on Bill Clinton, and during that time, the Republicans won in both the Senate, the House, state legislators, state governorships, and ultimately defeated a candidate who represented probably the most successful president in 50 years. I think people ultimately like it when a very powerful person is brought down in this country, whether it's a movie star or a recording artist, whether it be Britney or Britney, whatever her name is, or any of the others.
Yeah,
Phil needs to be brought down anyway.
Phil in Florida has called the Tom Hartman program here at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5977.
Can I play more of that music?
Yeah, no, I don't think so, Phil. I've got a serious question for you, though. He's going to push Bush out. Okay. Phil, a question for you. Phil. Okay, that's enough. Are you still there, Phil? Oh, I guess not. Okay. Thanks a lot for calling, Phil. I appreciate it. Okay. Well, thank you. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And we were talking about campaigns, we're talking about elections. The big question for this for the program today is modern conservative political spin designed to divert our attention from the corporate takeover of democracy? And I was going off on this little tangent here, as it were, about deflation, just because I think this is such an important thing that a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people are not familiar with the economics of this, that if deflation goes down and you have fixed debt, like credit card debt or mortgage debt, then your ability to pay that debt becomes less and less and less. And there are a lot of people who are suggesting that there's some real concerns here. Gold was selling for $280 more or less an ounce about a year ago. It's now $350 an ounce more or less. What that really means is not that gold has become more valuable, because gold is an international commodity of exchange. What it means is that the dollar has become less valuable relative to all other currencies around the world that are, you know, and all of the commodities. Now, if we have deflation in the United States at the same time that we decrease the value of the dollar, and this is something Jon Snow was on TV last weekend on the talk shows suggesting a reduced dollar might be a good thing because it would help American exporters, because American goods then become cheaper. And it harms people who are trying to import into the United States because suddenly all their stuff becomes more expensive. But it would help American exports. And there is some truth to that. And he was sort of implying that he was hoping that might lift us out of this economic mess, out of this potential deflation. Stopping deflation, stopping the reduction in the value, or the increase in the value of currency, the reduction of prices, by encouraging a weaker dollar, is a very, very, very dangerous thing. Those of you who are concerned about what you can do, you know, where to invest, what those kinds of things, the consensus broadly seems to be among people who are looking at these markets that treasuries and government debt is probably one of the safest things to have, because it returns a fixed rate of income. And you can buy savings bonds online even right now from the United States government. So some things to think about. If there was a interesting article about dollar's limited slide. Where did it go? Anyway, here we are. This is USA Today yesterday. Normally treasuries do well when people are wary of the future. But this concern that if deflation happens, if deflation happens big, then a lot of investors in America will leave. And if investors in America leave, then we have a huge disaster because the market really starts to crash. And having a huge deficit, a huge debt, is the kind of thing that causes investors to lose confidence in the American economy. Is American conservative political spin designed to divert our attention from the corporate takeover of democracy? Jeff in Denver, what do you think? Jeff?
Yes.
In Denver?
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, okay. I absolutely do think it's designed to distract us from the real occurrence of, you know, what's really going on. The Republicans are out. Well, the corporations are trying to take over, as in Mussolini's Italy.
Yeah. Well, Mussolini said fascism should actually be called corporatism because it's a merging of state and corporate interests.
Yes. Question for you. What do you think about the thing that there might be a lot of people in the administration, perhaps, that would not be against the Depression, given that what I'd always heard is more millionaires are made during the Depression than any, the Great Depression of the 30s, than any other time in U.S. history?
Yeah, it's actually the case. There are some who would argue that there were more millionaires made during the Gilded Age between 1870 and 1890, or 1870 and 1900. But you know, nobody was keeping good records back then. Mm-hmm. So.
But it may be beneficial for some people that they may actually want this to happen.
Yeah, there are those people who earn their income from passive investment and have some control over that. Now there are some who earn their income from passive investment and don't have any control of it. People who are retired, for example, and they're living on 401ks or on retirement programs that they don't actually control the specific investments, they can be in deep trouble because they may well be invested in the stock market. But people who are the very wealthy, who are earn their income from passive investment, they have the ability to move into debt based instruments of investment like treasury bills and treasury bonds, corporate debt, although treasuries are the safest, and not just weather out deflation, but actually prosper. I mean, in 1930 to 1933, we had this 24% decline in prices, and yet people who had their income from debt were actually seeing, you know, a 2 or 3% revenue stream in the midst of that. So they were making, like, in aggregate, in total, almost 30% annual return on their investment. So, yeah, it can be very good for some people,
so
very
caveat,
bad for a lot of other people.
Yeah. So the caveat here is those in charge may not be trying to avert a depression.
Yeah, there are some who believe that, and the conspiracy theory of depressions, including the Great Depression, is a tough one to knock holes in. You know, it's although frankly, I don't think that anybody intentionally starts these things, but certainly policies like driving up debt and driving up the national deficit, the national debt, are not going to help. Jeff, thank you very much for calling from Denver. I appreciate it. This is the Tom Hartman program on the iAmerica Radio Network. We'll be back in just a moment.
So the sun is a-shining, the birds are a-chirping, and the garden is a-calling. One small problem, you're back.
Ow!
It's a-hurting. Can't bend down to dig.
Ooh!
Can't stand up to water.
Ouch!
Just can't bear the pain. Better grab a Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation.
Ah!
So you can bend, dig, plant, water, water, and water all you want. No problem. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Back when Newt Gingrich was the brain trust for the Republican Party, when he came up with his contract on America, he was very explicit in suggesting in the talking points that went out to talk show hosts across the United States that they should make a distinction between democracy and a republic. The main reason being that there is a subliminal message here that if democracy is bad and republic is good, that therefore people will make the unconscious link that Democrats are bad and Republicans are good. And this was part of the whole NLP psycho warfare stuff. And so this distinction that James Madison made in Federalist Number 10, in the Federalist Papers published in 1787, was brought out. Newt trotted this thing out and pointed out that James Madison had essentially reinvented these words and said, democracy is mob rule, republic is rule of law. In other words, you've got the majority opinion, minorities are protected, but there is a rule of law. It's called a constitution, and the rules don't change. Well, the Republicans apparently don't like a republic when it actually works. They're not allowing, or they're on the edge of not allowing the Democrats, a minority, to exercise their political right, which it has been for, 200 years in the United States, to decide and to filibuster judicial nominees. The three options are being looked at, Number one is the nuclear option, which is just this kind of meltdown process in the Senate that could just wipe this whole, you know, the whole idea of a filibuster out forever, which could terribly backfire on the Republicans if they're the minority party in power or out of power. The second option is to formally change the Senate rules through the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee is headed, by the way, by Trent Lott. And the third option is to file a lawsuit against the Senate. According to an article in The Hill, the lawsuit on the Senate, that might be tough. Well, anyway, they don't like the Republic. They're back to democracy, mob rule. Yes, indeed. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for being with us this week. We'll be back on Monday. And thanks in particular to Steve and Steph for running the board this week and to Louise for producing a great show. Hope you've had a good time. We'll see you then. See you next week.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.